Thinkingimpaired.com.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is strongly advised.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
You know, you are quite a decorator. It's amazing what you've done with such a modest budget.
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Some of you may die, but it's a sacrifice I am willing to make.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Why are you following me?
Mace.
Now it's my turn, so you just shut up and pay attention.
Omega.
I'm not a puppet. I'm a real boy.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Hey, I'm no one's messenger boy. I'm a delivery boy.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar. Hey, this is former WWE Superstar Shawn Michaels. Please
don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That's it, you big fat sucker! Whoa.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I don't know, this feels back to business as usual. There's wrestling news to talk about. We have the debut of a brand new all-time greatest, and I'm sure we will try and delay that as long as possible. For then, this is me, the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Yes, it's business as usual, and for some reason, our producer has a big obsession with Chris Jericho this evening.
I was more wondering about why we had Shrek for an opening.
Only because you got pegged as the puppet?
That kind of made me curious, yeah.
Let's see, at 9:36, I get an intro called Shrek. So, we're good. I had no idea why we're doing Shrek. But there's a reason behind Jericho, but Shrek, I have no idea.
So, man at the head of the table, Mr. Tim Stein, do you want to explain Shrek?
Should I just say good evening, everybody? Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. That's right, it's me, your host, Tim Stein, along with the usual suspects right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're going to talk wrestling tonight. Do you guys want to know why I did Shrek?
That's why I asked, why Shrek?
Why not? Is my answer. Why not?
I just was curious if there was a source of the inspiration or...
Well, I've been doing... yes, I am the one responsible. I'm guilty for doing all of these different intros, minus one or two that actually Rock put together. Just to, you know, just change things up every Sunday night, or, well, most Sunday nights, just to give us something fresh to intro the show with. And as I say, the majority of them that I've done have been based on TV shows that we all watch.
Well, half of us watch.
Well, you know, the ones who count, right? Right, Mace? The ones who count.
Don't bring me into this.
Too late, I already did. But starting last week, I've switched to movies that could be considered classic movies. Last week, of course, we did Jaws, and this week we're Shrek. Who knows? Next week, it might be something else.
So it had absolutely nothing to do that this week they dug up Chris Farley's run as Shrek.
Oh, absolutely not.
There's your tie-in, ladies and gentlemen.
It was just, you know, call that a coincidence.
And now we can pitch it to Tim and tell us why we're doing Chris Jericho night.
because something's up with Chris Jericho.
No, because of the fact you gave me.
Oh, the little factoid I gave you?
That's the only reason we're doing Chris Jericho.
Oh, that's okay, so you see, I'm not the only one who does shit on the fly, because I literally made that intro like a half hour before we went to air tonight.
Yeah, and then I was choosing music. I haven't chosen music yet, and I get this little factoid.
Tim, and the factoid is, tonight actually marks an anniversary of sorts for Y2J, Chris Jericho. Back in 1999, on this date, in August, Chris Jericho made his debut on Monday Night Raw, cutting a very memorable promo, interrupting The Rock.
So we will have Chris Jericho theme music throughout the show.
So basically we're going to turn into Talk as Jericho for one night.
Does he play his own music on his show?
I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
He plays Fozzy music, so you're correct.
So we have two Fozzy songs and, two Fozzy songs and a couple other songs on the playlist for this evening. So there you go.
So, yeah, all because that I somehow remembered that he debuted this day in, what was it, 1999?
Yes, way back when, in 1999.
And I remember that. I was living on Stanley Road in Calgary at the time.
Any reason why you told us what road you were living on?
Because I remembered the name of it.
Okay.
Yeah, and Stanley
because
Road
it's
is...
totally irrelevant, and Tim loves his irrelevant shit.
And Stanley Road is located in Elbow Park, which is kind of weird because Elbow Drive goes through Stanley Park, which is right next door.
Fuck.
To Stanley Park and Elbow. Anyway, yeah, whatever. Wake the hell up.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry,
I know.
Sorry, I thought Spug was talking World of Warcraft for a second. Oh my god.
Yeah. Well, we could talk World of Warcraft, but I don't know anything about it because I don't play stupid game.
So hey, they announced a new expansion over the weekend.
I will strangle you.
So Maze, are you excited about this new expansion pack?
I am, actually. That's the stupid thing about it. After being bored with the game for the last couple of years, I'm actually excited for once. Done.
Ooh, what? They brought in something to make me play for another 3 hours. Okay, I'm bored again.
You people talk. I'm going to go play Splatoon again.
You're going to play what?
Gee, talk about something that's fucking boring and repetitive.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You don't play. Shut the fuck up.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Can't people say that to you about World of Warcraft?
Who says I haven't?
Do you play World of Warcraft?
No.
Well, then shut the fuck up. No, don't. I don't like it when you shut up, because then we're just really boring if there's no Omega, because, let's face it, you're the life of the party. Because
then we can go back to talking about the cross streets where Tim lives.
And nobody wants to know about how many times I've moved in the last 10 years. Well, maybe one person listening tonight would be interested, but I ain't telling her where I live now.
If you'd like to know Tim's address,
shut up.
It can be bought.
Shut up. This is not a family-friendly show, and Sunday Night has never been family-friendly. That's got to be Cane Kittens in there.
Maybe.
Maybe, with the way you drew that out. That kind of sort of firm shit.
No, it's called I was opening up the chat room and looking. Yes, that is King Kittens.
She told you. Uh-huh.
I had the chat room lowered for a minute, so I didn't know who it was.
God, talk about an absolutely slow week in the world of professional wrestling. After the last couple of months we've had, I'm not thinking that that's necessarily a bad thing right now.
Yeah, after some of the bigger stories and unfortunate passing ons, yeah, to have a slow news week is a bit of a godsend.
Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't mind too heavily. So, but we should maybe just dive into stuff. And guys, we might not last a full 2 hours tonight. You never know. It just depends on how conversant we get on over a few topics. But Mace, what's your win for the week?
Shit, I'm supposed to have one of these in advance, aren't I?
Okay, uh-huh. Omega, what's your win for the week?
Hang on.
Okay, my win for the week was Seth Rollins with the WWE World Heavyweight Championship Open Challenge being answered by the man that gravity forgot, Neville. fantastic match. Neville actually showed that he can hang with the big boys, you know, quote unquote big boys. And it was very enjoyable. And it was nice that they pulled that because Cena with his broken nose wasn't able to fly last week. And I guess the jury's still kind of out whether or not he's going to actually make SummerSlam. But relax, people. He'll be there. He's got another almost 2 weeks. So, but that's my one for the week.
I guess if I've got to pick one, and you know, having gun forced to my head like I do every single week to pick these damn things,
pretty much.
I think I'm going to go with Finn Balor and Neville in an NXT title match, followed by Cesaro versus Kevin Owens.
Okay, so Cesaro Owens is your honorable mention.
No, both great matches deserve equal billing.
I see. So basically, for you, it's such a close tie. You can't name one or the other. It's almost like trying to figure out who's getting eliminated on the last episode of MasterChef, and it was so close they both stayed.
I don't watch MasterChef, so
I don't know. I watch it, so.
Mind you, I'm now wondering how many people are sitting there going through the fucking Monday Night Raw and SmackDown results going, where the fuck are those matches?
It's NXT, kids.
No. It's a Melbourne House show.
Oh! Well, you know, you could have said something.
No, I was waiting for motherfuckers to try and put it together.
Bastard. You bastard. Okay, we'll give you that one. Omega, your turn, finally. I know it took forever, and you've been champing at the bit just to give us your win.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. It's not so much Neville versus Seth Rollins. Because that was a good match. Mm-hmm. I really liked his promo before the match.
Seth's?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, Neville's promo. Yes, Seth's.
Well, no, I was kind of taken aback by that because I usually tune out when Seth talks.
It was a decent heel promo. Like he was playing a heel promo 101, and it was really good. And he didn't need goons in the ring to actually sell it.
Okay, like, fair enough.
He did good, and then he proposes the open challenge for tonight. And then when we get back, we find out the open challenge is under 6 feet, under 200 pounds.
No, not Torito, El Torito.
Yeah,
JBL. Jesus.
I thought, okay, yeah, that's a dickish move. I half expected one of our new stooges to come out and accept the challenge and just get the finger poke of doom.
Oh yeah, that was done in WCW. Nice. Finger poke. I don't think that they would do that in WWE.
Yeah, but that's like, again, it's like heel 101. A heel has an open challenge for a championship, then there's something fishy about it. So when they came back from the break and said, oh, but caveat, under 6 feet, other caveat, under 200 pounds. Yes, mm-hmm. I'm challenging El Torito. Like, okay, that's like true dickish heel. Like, and I completely forgot. Neville qualifies for both. Sweet.
There you go.
So it was a nice little play of expectations.
There you go. So
I was half expecting WWE to pull the bullshit and go, oh, look, Daniel Bryan.
I was half expecting him to go, no, Rey Mysterio doesn't work here anymore.
I don't think they're allowed to mention Rey Mysterio.
Still play out toys for the guy. I assume there's some way they can mention him.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's no Hulk Hogan.
Yet. Yeah. You don't know.
The next thing you know, there's a sex tape of Rey Mysterio cursing out white people.
No one cares when they curse out white people.
Bitching about how the white people in Arizona keep stealing all the Mexicans' jobs. Yeah, I went there.
Normally, we reserve this for last night.
Yeah, I just want to make a disclaimer right now. All Latino people listening, if there are any, we're not taking shots at you. I'm just kind of making fun of Arizona in general. For those of you who live in Arizona, it's your own damn fault. Hey, Omega, do you have a fail?
Do I have a fail? So, in WWE's Infinite Logic,
y'all,
they felt the reason that network subscribership is not growing anymore was because people did not understand that the pay-per-views are more expensive than the network subscription.
Okay.
So JBL was holding up fucking signs.
Yep.
With prices on them.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're answering to, like you're trying to talk to drooling goddamn mongoloids.
I see. Okay.
I don't think I've ever had my intelligence insulted so much in my life.
Oh, there you
that
go.
That is just like, I know WWE is like, doesn't okay. think the highest of its audience.
You, well, yeah, that's kind of self-evident.
Yeah. But,
yep.
Well, like, there's one thing to remind us of what happened at the beginning of the show three times during the show.
Mm-hmm.
And to constantly remind us, hey, you know, this happened like a week ago, or to interrupt interrupt promos with, hey, let's all take a look at the screen and see what I did last week. Which, that's my one negative to the Seth's promo.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing to hold up a white fucking sign with black bold numbers on it going, here, you fucking morons.
Figure it out.
Here, here. Here's another card with the math.
Mm-hmm.
With a minus sign. And this is how much you're saving. Like,
Yeah, you know what's really frightening about that entire thing?
Here's a graph. Here's a graph on how much Budweiser you can buy with the savings.
Yeah. You know what's the sad thing about what you're pointing out there? There are actually people out there, and I'm not singling out wrestling fans because there are morons in all walks of life, but there are people out there that actually need a reminder like that.
But there's also a lot of people out there who either don't have good enough internet for the streaming service.
Yeah.
Can't afford, you know, high speed internet for the streaming service, mm-hmm. or are more akin to chip in with, you know, friends or family and watch the event together, and it's cheaper than $9.99 doing it that way.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm kind of surprised they have yet to break out the more shit you watch on WWE Network. Technically, the cheaper everything is. It's kind of like Netflix, you know. You get Netflix and you kind of feel like you should watch as many movies as you can, because by doing that, it's like technically cheaper per movie.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah, the difference between Netflix and the WWE Network is Netflix, you have a variety of different movies. You have actions, comedies, etc., etc. WWE Network, wrestling.
But now they're saying it's better than Netflix.
No, it isn't.
That's the ad. No. That's the ad now.
I'm sorry. I don't see the WWE producing a hit series like Daredevil. No, I don't see them getting something as moronically over as Daredevil has become.
That's frightening, isn't it?
Netflix got Daredevil of all fucking comic books to be a good TV series.
How the hell would
like
they do
WWE
that?
Well, that'd be like WWE giving Zack Ryder a legitimate world title push. It just shouldn't make any sense.
I'm sorry. I choked on that when you said it. All right, so that's Omega's fail. Omega's for you.
My one goes out to the son of a bitch who was in Houston over the weekend and decided that busting the window of Stevie Ray's Cadillac Escalade and stealing the Wildcat Heavyweight Championship was a great idea.
Oh, I have forgot about that. Yeah, that's an excellent fail, pointing out. It'll tie in with mine, but continue.
Yeah, so whoever this stupid son of a bitch is that decided to do that, go fuck yourself, die in a fire, and I hope something really bad happens to you in some way, shape, or form, and that God has no mercy on your soul. Because, one, you're a fucking thief, you're a dick for doing it, and of all things, why steal a title belt?
There's no way in hell that he's going to be able to do anything with that. I mean, like, what would you expect to do? Be able to take it to a pawn shop and, ooh, hey, title belt, I'll give you $300 and then sell it for $5. Because,
unless he can smelt the gold off of it.
Well, the gold on those title belts are only plated. It's plating.
Yeah, but you still get a couple ounces worth. It's still worth a lot.
Well, not really all that much, really, to tell you the truth. Once you smelt, like, once you finally get the plating off and you get it melted down, you're going to lose, you're losing some of it when you do that. And by the time you collect it all, it's like, what is gold nowadays? What, $350 an ounce? I'm just saying. You'll be lucky to get $300 worth of gold. So. But yeah, no, that's an excellent fail. And yeah, like I said, it ties in with my overall fail, which stems from an incident in Victoria, British Columbia, Canada over the weekend at a house show. Roman Reigns getting smacked on the back of the head with a replica of the Money in the Bank briefcase that previously that evening had been signed by a lot of WWE superstars. Now, my fail is all these idiots and morons and retards who are trying to get themselves noticed by doing dumb shit like that. I don't know. Maybe my awareness of it is just that much more keen, but it just seems to be happening more. And I'm not just talking WWE. It's a lot of things. It happened with me with Canadian All Pro. Some jackass jumped into the ring in the middle of a tag match. And he basically pinned one of my wrestlers long enough for the guy to get pissed off, throw him off, and the wrestler broke his hand on the guy's face. And the guy started yapping about suing it, and I'm like, well, go right ahead. We'll see how that works for you. But seriously, you don't go to any kind of event, wrestling, football, baseball, basketball, hockey, and do dumb shit just to get yourself noticed. I mean, if you're that desperate for attention, start up a website and stream a radio show. So that's my fail for the week. Idiot fans.
Yes, I can relate to that.
I think you and I could relate to that a lot more than some people listening. You run into them all of the time, all over the place.
There was something in the back of my head wishing that when you started saying that, you were going to finish it with, like, my fail for the week was the fan throwing the briefcase at Roman Reigns because he didn't throw it hard enough.
And not knocking him out. Yeah. No, you know, like Reigns, hate Reigns. That's up to your personal taste or preference. I don't really give a damn. You should be smart enough and individual enough to make your own decisions and not follow the crowd. Just because everybody else is booing somebody, don't boo because they are. I mean, if you want to boo them because you genuinely don't appreciate the guy, fine, boo them. But you don't do shit like that, especially nowadays. I mean, yeah, Classy Freddy Blassie getting stabbed by a fan back when everybody thought wrestling was absolutely 100% on the up and up real. And, you know, that was what, in the 70s? A little bit of a different situation than it is today.
Well, even in the 90s when, you know, the NWO was a big thing in 96, 97, 98.
Yeah.
People throwing shit in the ring. You know, it was a way of showing displeasure. But at the same time, they were only throwing, like, paper and plastic cups.
Well, yeah.
They weren't
really
throwing big-ass briefcases made of metal.
Yeah. Well, you know, throwing paper and plastic cups and stuff like that into the ring for decades, that was an accepted thing at a professional wrestling event, and it was expected for you to show your hatred for a bad guy wrestler by doing something like that, getting his face, yelling at him when he comes out, and then throwing stuff in the ring when he cheats and wins and stuff like that. I mean, like ECW, their fans had throwing shit into the ring down to a science. They really
did. Well, it's one thing to throw a plastic cup with half your beer still in it. It's another to throw your fucking chair.
And bury two wrestlers in the middle of the ring with chairs. Very infamous night in ECW. But, yeah. So that's our win and fail for the week. Mace, you attended the house show this past week.
Yes, indeed I did. In case people forgot what my win was already, it was two matches from the Melbourne Live house show
this past
Friday night.
Yeah, swervy bugger.
Hey, I wasn't even planning on going to an event. I had another friend of mine who's a big wrestling fan. He got tickets directly from 2K, mm-hmm. and he ended up having a spare one. And he said, well, he already bought one early on, and then 2K called him up on the day and said, hey, we got tickets for you. You know, goes to show how great 2K are at communicating shit. Mm-hmm. So his spare ticket he sold to me for like half price, so I got to go and watch the show for like $25.
Not too bad. Which, so they must have been pretty good seats.
Upper section row C, so it was decent enough.
Okay.
I could see what was going on in the ring. I could see the entrances. The angle was pretty crap.
Ah.
So I couldn't see the Tron or the screen that they had on. which was a bit of a pain, but because they showed video, they showed a promo by Seth Rollins during the night, and also a Rowdy Roddy Piper tribute and the Conor the Crusher video. So I couldn't actually see those videos playing as a part of it was going on.
Just a quick question. You said they showed the Piper tribute. I'm sure it's probably the same one we've been treated to last week with every airing of a WWE program. What kind of reception did that get down there in Melbourne?
You want to say that again?
So what kind of reception did that get down there in what, Melbourne?
I'm not going to educate you on how to say the fucking city name properly.
Yeah, no, I've got like gum in my mouth.
I've been working with you for what, 8 years, Tim?
Yeah, I've got gum in my mouth. Just roll with it. Jesus. I'm chewing
whatever.
Gum. That's my
excuse. Whatever. Yeah, the reception, it got a big Roddy chant at the start of the show. Even Conor got a chant when that video was played as well. So, yeah, they both got really big receptions here.
Oh, that's good.
So just to give people a quick breakdown of what happened during the evening, because let's face it, the WWE Network wasn't there to film it like they do in Japan. We started the night with Shawn Michaels coming out, announcing the WWE title match between Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose at the end of the night would now be put in a steel cage, which, I, given how high up in the arena I was, I'm surprised I didn't notice the cage quicker. They also offered refunds for the first 20 minutes due to John Cena not being on the tour. So, of course, what did they put on as the first match? Finn Balor versus Neville for the NXT Championship, because, you know, nobody's going to get up and want to leave in the first 20 minutes of that.
Probably not.
I'm just happy to have now seen Balor's entrance in person. It was just awesome to see the production. He didn't have the symbiote gear on. It was just him as normal, which was fair enough. Yeah, which was... A lot of people were complaining, oh, you should have broken out the gear for the live tour. I'm like, no. Could you imagine having to work three nights in a row with that shit caked on you? No.
That would be a bit much.
But it would be. Lots of high flying from both men. I do have quite a few photos and videos from that match trying to capture some of the better moments. Balor defeated Neville with the double foot stomp and went about well over a third distance from the turnbuckle into the ring to hit Neville with it, which was quite impressive. So, very great match to start off the night with. Of course, they followed that up with the stinker of the night, which was Fandango versus Adam Rose.
Oh, God.
And for some reason, this shows how backwards Australia is. Most of the arena was still doing was Fandangoing during the entrance.
Oh, no.
Why hasn't that thing died out completely?
Yeah.
The world? God.
Oh, I wish it did.
Why is Fandango still employed?
Yeah, I'd like to know that one too.
Yeah, there's speculation.
There was a small We Want Kruger chant going on while Adam Rose was coming out.
Yeah.
Just to play on his Twitter thing the other week. Yeah, it wasn't a great match.
It's still going on. That still might be a thing.
Yeah, personally, I hope so. So I love that gimmick. But, yeah, it wasn't a great match. Pretty slow. Lots of rest holds. The crowd sort of shit all over it. That's where I first started hearing the people that were annoying me for the rest of the night. About three rows back and off to my left, there was a small group of people who just wanted to disrupt every match with shitty chants. So the amount of times they tried to get CM Punk chants started, fuck off. Thank God not many people could hear them, but by the end of the night I wanted to fucking get up and punch the bitches.
None of us would blame you. You know that.
No. So after that one we had Harper going up against R-Truth. R-Truth being one of the most over guys in the night.
Interesting.
Yeah. R-Truth is over here in Australia. Very, very entertaining match between the two with R-Truth playing to the crowd and really getting under Harper's skin. I do have Harper's entrance recorded for Lindsay because I know if I didn't do it, she'd kill me.
Oh, you haven't had a chance to get it to her yet, have you?
I haven't had a chance to upload any of this stuff yet. That discus clothesline, just hearing the smack that happens when Harper hits it, a lot louder in reality than on TV. just as brutal. We had just before intermission, we had Randy Orton going up against King Barrett and eventually beating him. Barrett came out and started talking cricket, which infuriated the crowd. So we were ready to kill him before Randy even got out there. not a bad match. Very formulaic, but it worked. The crowd was into it. Randy took his time leaving at the end of it, signing people's posters and stuff on the way out, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, cool.
Then we had intermission, and I, stupid me, decided, hey, I'll go and get a drink. Yeah, 25 minutes fucking later. Hate concession lines at arenas.
Yeah,
takes
no
too
kidding.
Fucking long.
Well, didn't they have somebody walking up and down with a cold pop?
No, they don't. Do that here. The steps are too narrow.
Ah, well,
it's fucking ridiculous.
I gotta say, for whether you're watching a live TV taping here in Calgary or a recorded TV taping or just a house show, at least the concessions send the beer and the soft drinks vendors out, so that helps.
So because I was still in line when intermission finished, I missed Bo Dallas's entrance.
Arg.
He came out to try and get the Australian crowd to believe.
Did anybody believe?
Shawn Michaels came out. No, nobody believed. Shawn Michaels came out, and Bo turned around and called him an old washed up has-been.
Oops.
I think most people can see where this is going.
Yeah, of course. You know what's
I think
going.
I saw a video of where this went.
Yeah. Bo Dallas learned how to eat shoe leather.
Aww.
Which got a nice big pop. Then, of course, we get to the Divas match of the night, which was Natalya and Emma defeating the Bellas.
Ah.
Emma got a big pop because she's a hometown girl.
Of course. From everybody except you.
Pretty much.
Because, let's face it, we know that you despise her, and you have reason.
He also has a picture with
her. Yes, I do.
That didn't stop you from getting your picture taken.
We'll get to that after the house show. To be honest, I was quite happy to see Natty. It's good to see her wrestling down here. She didn't come down here last year.
Yeah.
So it was good to see Natty. It was a shame that I couldn't meet Natty at that point. She did the Sydney meet and greet though.
Yeah. Well, it's fun to watch her wrestle live, isn't it?
Oh yeah. She likes to play up the crowd. It was really weird because it was one of those weird things of. On TV, you see Natty and Emma both being heels and the Bellas sort of being faces, whereas at the house show, the Bellas were the heels, Natty and Emma were faces.
Yeah. Oh, did Natty do any dancing, prancing around the ring at all at any point?
She did a little bit of dancing and prancing. She also hit the sharpshooter on both Bellas, which I thought was awesome.
Two-on-one or separate?
Separate. It was one after the other, though.
Okay.
So Emma got the pin for that one, of course.
Naturally.
And then we had the match. Then we had the easily match of the night, Cesaro defeating Kevin Owens.
Ooh.
With both guys putting an amazing match, just going all out like it was a fucking pay-per-view.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm looking forward to anything that WWE is going to do between these two in the future.
So that was like...
Kevin got a big pop, and so did Cesaro, which was... pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, you gotta expect Kevin Owens getting a big pop no matter where he goes, just for the next year, I think, before everybody starts booing the hell out of him.
Yeah, true.
So, yeah.
And then we finally had the main event, which was Rollins versus Ambrose in a cage. From what I saw, this was a good match. I had to leave halfway through it just to make sure I could get home. Due to the public transport being absolutely fucking shithouse. From the reports, Seth won that one, and he tried to put Dean through a table afterwards, but Dean reversed it, put Seth through a table, and sent the crowd home happy.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. All right. So it sounded like, for the most part, you had a pretty good time at the house show.
Yeah, well, it was a lot better than what I thought it was going to be.
Ah, good. Do you think it would have been better or worse had the people who couldn't show up showed up?
I reckon Hogan might have been a little bit better than Michaels as the GM, just for the pop factor that Hogan gets.
Mm-hmm.
Cena versus Owens, yeah, probably would have been a really good match, and of course Cena would have gotten one of the biggest pops of the night.
Yeah.
Losing Ryback was no big deal.
That, you know, somehow does not surprise me.
No, not at all.
So, okay, now we said we were going to get to picture time.
Yes, earlier in that day, I, I was able to get a hold of a one of the limited, well, I guess, passes, you would say, to attend the meet and greet that was only 5 minutes away from my house to meet Emma and Kevin Owens. Get a photo opportunity with them. Of course, me being me, I was like, by the time they arrived half an hour late, for starters, which was a pain in the butt. Then it took nearly an hour for me to get from where I was standing in line to actually meeting them. So by that point, I was just like, I just want to get this shit over with and go into the city, have dinner, and go to the show.
Yep.
I've walked up and I've said, oh, hey, Tennille, how you doing? I haven't seen you since you left MCW. And she just sort of looked at me with this death glare.
Like, don't call me Tennille.
Like, I went, I am so sorry. and I said to her, you just got to remember, you're still... Tennille to me, you're still the girl that I've seen through all the feds that I was part of and that back in the day.
Yeah.
And everything. And she was just so glary. I'm like, look, I apologize. But I was doing it just to save face because I knew the PR guy was pretty much over my fucking shoulder at that point.
Yeah.
I said, look, I apologize for that. And, you know, welcome back. Have fun tonight. And just moved on. And I looked over at Steve and he's like, bad move, dude.
He gave like, you that commiseration look, didn't he?
No, he actually said, bad move, dude.
Oh, he actually said it. Okay.
And I said, yeah. And I quickly explained to him that I used to train with her. I've been in feds with her, and I've seen her through all these other places. He's like, okay, that I can understand. I still cop a little bit of it every now and again myself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, with the fans of the other places. He's like, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, well, like with me, I know him as Kevin Steen, not Kevin Owens, so...
Yeah, and sometimes it just doesn't click in your head to switch the names around.
Yeah, at that point it was just
basically, you know, shake his hand and just say, you know, hope you enjoy your time here and actually get out to see some of the country while you're here and everything, and then it was just turn around, take a photo, leave.
So there you go.
Yeah, now I have a photo with Kevin Steen and Emma, which I can just change slightly so it's just me and Kevin Steen.
Well, there you go. Yeah, you don't need Emma in there.
Thank you, Photoshop.
Image ready.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, WWE, we know you're listening. He said nothing about Photoshopping Emma out. Don't worry about it.
No, I used MS Paint and just shortened the picture.
Yeah, he's like, fuck you, I'm getting rid of her.
Yeah, I think Windows can just crop it in the image viewer, can't it?
Yep. All you got to do is do the magic wand thing, click around her, and just basically slide her out of frame.
it's nothing. No offense to Emma. It's just the image is too big. I need the file space.
Yeah, we'll go with that one. Sure, why not? So yeah, okay. Well, that was Mace's trip to the whatchamacallit, the house show down in Melbourne.
To the WWE Melbourne House Show.
See, I said it properly because I moved the gum over between my cheek and teeth. Yeah, all right. Sure.
And in the end, I walked away with a Finn Balor t-shirt. Why? Because they were sold out of the Suplex City ones in my size. God damn it.
Oh, that's too bad. That would have been kind of fun to Suplex City tee, hey?
Well, there was three that I was after. Mind you, they're $50 a piece. I was after the Suplex City, which was my first choice. Then there was the Kevin Owens, the basic KO one. And then there was the Finn Balor shirt. So they were out of the first two, so I ended up getting the Finn Balor shirt. And I didn't get the pop vinyls, thank God. They had three pop vinyls available. Yeah, Omega knows my obsession with pop vinyls.
Okay.
And considering they had, like, the Bella Twin 2-pack exclusive one from the website and one of the John Cena ones that was exclusive, I'm like, no, I don't need to buy them. I walked away from pop vinyls, finally.
How hard was it to do that?
Extremely hard, considering that the 2-pack was only $35.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Mace, how many times have you walked away from World of Warcraft?
All right. I'm going to, like, intervene right now because we're not going to devolve and degenerate into any kind of war here with World of Warcraft involved. That's just it. I'm drawing the line.
I'm just drawing a comparison.
Just call it a preemptive strike so I don't have to give you a timeout in the corner.
Hey. I can answer that quite easily. I've walked away from World of Warcraft more times than I've walked away from pop vinyls.
Okay, there you go. There's an easy answer. And easily enough, I'm going to let everybody know that you are tuned in to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're taking our first time out of the evening. Go grab yourselves a refreshing cold one, whatever the hell it is that you drink. If you want, we'll give you a chance to relieve yourself if you need to do that, to refresh yourself, because it's a good thing. We'll be back right after this.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com. There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axelmania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh, that's right, how the show was just recently.
It was this past Sunday. It's a plug into a segue.
Hey, wait, give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute, I'll be right back.
Really? Come on, no. God. Man.
Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait. That's all.
Los Matadores versus the Real American. You all
I'm
pick.
Going with that. Never mind, sorry. You're... We're not making predictions. I seen him too in action, and I was like all excited. Oh, that's so funny.
Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. No. As luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see, if I'd seen him face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good, I would have picked him if I'd have seen him. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted. live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, that pick, I was going to make picks I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team has titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Free Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Free Bella. I do remember that.
You do? Free Bella lost the match, but Ace and Rob picked three. Sub, you picked AJ Lee.
I believe you changed to Cancer Rock. Oh, shit. Well, that's one for me, because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you.
I told you, I'm my own worst enemy.
He's coming. Just like... bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Let's Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And that is a very humorous little photo that was sent in a link during the break on the Skype chat. Who sent that again? Was that Omega?
It'd probably be the one whose name is directly above it.
Well, I scrolled down to read about Sheamus getting pulled because he's got a concussion. That came out yesterday, as a matter of fact, that, he had a suspected concussion, and Mace really didn't give a damn that, he wasn't on the Australian tour.
No, fucks given, Eagle Zero.
See, told you, which is all good. Life's a rock and roll. And then, you party, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, welcome back, everybody. Geez, going back to my fail for the week, tied in, started with this, this topic conversation. Roman Reigns getting hit in the back of the head with, Money in the Bank replica briefcase. Now, this is a WWE replica, not some cheap little, cardboard thing. And WWE, when they make their replicas, they basically make, you know, the exact thing that the guy's carrying to the ring, more or less, don't they?
Pretty much. There are, like, kid versions that are made out of plastic.
Yeah. And there's lunchboxes.
Yeah. But, this thing, if you saw the video of it, and there is video posted all over the internet of it happening, the video that's posted that I saw did not catch the briefcase clip in Roman Reigns, but there are several still photos that are like one right after the other, right after the other, that show that being thrown into the ring, hitting Roman and Roman reacting to it. But the video itself actually has audio. The fans are booing like crazy after it happened. And you could hear when Bray Wyatt kicked it out of the ring, you could hear that thing was solid. So definitely Roman definitely got a pretty good clip with that thing. And the match was actually momentarily in danger of actually being being shot because of it. So, but
well, it's good to see that Roman at least sold the shot. So,
I don't know that he had much of a choice, man.
Yeah,
but yeah, you know, posting on like on the news articles all over the internet, I couldn't help but post that because some people were taking shots at Canadian fans, and I'm like, don't lump all Canadian fans into the same group as those morons who live on the West Coast in British Columbia. Don't forget, this is the same place where a fan basically attacked Chris Jericho and then blamed him and tried to get him charged with assault.
Yeah, like, I'm watching the footage now, and to be honest, I'm more disgusted by the fans that ran from one side to the other to try and, like, beat the shit out of this guy.
Yeah.
But that type of thing is just fucking disgusting. You know, don't take the law into your own hands. That's what security is there for.
And they sure had a fair number of security just basically slide right in there, didn't they?
No, not really. It took time.
Well, yeah, but
it's just, look, it's one thing to be a part of the show and boo and scream and yell and all that shit. Don't try and assault the wrestlers in any way, shape, or form by, like, even just throwing shit at them.
Yeah.
Especially, why the fuck would you throw the Money in the Bank briefcase replica, which, what are those things worth? You know, 40, 50 bucks?
$80 US.
Why would you pay $80 just to throw the fucking thing?
You know, I shouldn't say $80 US. This happened.
What a waste of money.
Yeah, this happened in Canada, so it's like $65, $70 US, $80 Canadian. It's absolute retardation. Now, I've never worked in the ring as a wrestler. I've worked in the ring as the, you know, CEO, and it's a slightly different thing because I did the anti Vince McMahon thing. I was the super good guy getting into the heel's faces all the time to set up the wrestling matches and stuff. And I had the crowd on my side most of the time. But I related to you that incident, what happened with one of my wrestlers during a tag match. And there are times that people really piss me off. Like May said, smarten the fuck up. Seriously, don't do shit like that.
Yeah, it's like the dumb fucks who jump over the railing and try and get into the ring.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
You're not stupid. Uber cool. You're uber fucked in the head. You're a fucking tool and a retard if you do that. And if you're...
Plus, if you're one of those dumb fucks who actually jumps the railing and get in the ring, just remember the golden rule. You jump that railing, the wrestlers have full authority to beat the ever-loving shit out of you before security gets to you.
Hey, you're fair game. That's all there is to it. And label it self-defense if you want.
Exactly. Just ask anybody... ask anybody in the 80s who did that with Savage.
Yep.
Fucking Randy hated people who did that shit, and he'd go after them and fucking kill them.
At that point, it's trespassing. It's no different than, you know, running out on a football field or something.
Yep. Well, that's
at that
exactly
point,
right.
At that point, you're violating the arena's rules. You are, no, you know, whatever happens to you after that is your own fault.
Yep. Well, you know, this guy in Calgary here, he got punched in the face. Scott Lee Crew, that's the name of the wrestler, Scott Lee Crew, got a broken hand and a laptop computer out of the situation because the guy had a laptop computer with him. And when he got escorted out of the building by two of my security guards and me, and he's getting an earful from me while we're leaving. And I was just giving him holy high shit, telling him how much he deserved everything, blah, 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 blah. Before he was out of the building, his face was puffed up three times normal from the punch that Scott Lee gave him. But we didn't let him back in, and his laptop computer was still in the building. And we're all like, well, what are we going to do with it? I think it belongs to Crew because he's the one who broke his hand over the guy being an asshole. Everybody was like, yeah, you know what? I'm cool with that. Sure. So Scott Lee got himself a fairly decent laptop out of the deal. So he didn't complain all that much. So, and the guy tried to get in the back, and I'm like, yeah, screw you. That's your price for, entering the contest.
Now, surely, if you're going to be a fucking idiot and you're going to throw a Money in the Bank briefcase at someone's head in the ring, surely you jump the guardrail, slide in the ring, and push into the ref's hands like you're trying to cash it in.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a fucking idiot about it, go all out.
Like, yeah, you know, like, give people a reason to chuckle and maybe even cheer for you for 30 seconds, because it's the only chance you're ever going to get for you. Stupid.
You get attention, you get to be newsworthy, and it's not for trying to injure somebody. Okay, you're a dick for fucking up someone's wrestling match, but you're a funny dick.
Yeah, and you're still going to get your ass kicked out, but you're probably not going to get beat up on the way out. Yeah, it's just that's just something that has always annoyed the living hell out of me. Even when I was just a fan watching, you know, just sitting there watching, people would piss me off when somebody did that because they're totally ruining a match I want to watch.
I'm just going over a mega scenario in my head, and I'm thinking, if you do it with the right people,
yeah,
like say if somebody jumped the railing and like tried shoving the briefcase into a referee's hand to try and do it on like John Cena or something.
Yep.
I could imagine like John Cena being like, okay, hit, throw a punch at me, takes the bump and still kicks out at two.
And then kicks
like,
his
seriously,
ass.
There would be wrestlers on the roster. If you came in and did that type of scenario, like being a dick and doing that type of thing, they'd play along with it.
Oh, there are some out there who would. And then you got guys like Johnny Devine would just drop them cold, right? But I was just thinking, like you said, Cena. I don't know if Cena would actually play along. Maybe, but who else might?
I could see Wyatt, surprisingly enough, if you do something like that. Yeah, Ambrose for another.
No. What about Kevin Owens? What about KO?
Kill him, Kevin Owens to kill him. Owens would be like, sure, you're taking... Yeah, Joe and Owens would be doing the same thing. Motherfucker, you're taking a table spot.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, you want to play? Let's play. Could you imagine somebody pulling a dumbass move like that on Brock Lesnar?
Nobody'd have the balls to do that. They'd get in the ring and Brock would just look at him and they'd fucking burst into flames.
I would half want to do it just to see what Lesnar's reaction would be. I'd never
You wouldn't get to the ring. You wouldn't get to the ring. Heyman would fucking cut you off.
Yeah, that's probably true.
See, I can see the New Day doing it with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like if the New Day, basically it'd be Kofi and Xavier Woods who play along, and it'd be Big E who kills you afterwards.
Yeah. Would Daniel Bryan take a play bump?
Oh,
I don't think Daniel
Bryan
would take any
Bryan
unnecessary bumps right
hand.
Now.
Daniel Bryan would just like one kick and you're done. So, but yeah.
If you did that on a TNA show, they sign you to a contract.
TNA show, is he work here?
He must. God damn it, Dixie. You gotta tell us this shit.
Hey, he's in the ring and is excited, so clearly he works here.
Yeah.
The only one who is. No, being excited is like, no, he doesn't work here, never mind. He's happy to be in the ring.
Yeah, he doesn't work here, he's in the good mood. Well, we already talked about Sheamus having a reported concussion getting pulled from live events, so don't expect to see the red-headed snowman anytime soon, I don't think. Now, the question is
not a fuck was given.
Absolutely. Is WWE going to admit that he's got a concussion? Because they sure as hell didn't admit it with Daniel Bryan for the longest time.
Even then, like, I'm pretty sure they never officially said it was a concussion. Daniel Bryan said it in an interview. I don't know exactly how well WWE was monitoring such an interview.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, but anyway, that's what it is, and I'm not missing Sheamus. I'm sorry. I'm not a fan. I don't hate him, but I'm not a fan.
He's just oversold for what he is. Like, Sheamus is decent, but there's nothing like exciting about the guy.
Like, if you ask me, he's the biggest mid-carder since Mark Henry.
The problem is he's got Money in the Bank right now.
Yeah, which makes no sense to me, but you know, whatever. I'm not booking, even though I should.
It does screw up a lot of things. Like, if it's a concussion, like, we don't. That's the hard part about the concussions, because mm-hmm. you know it could be something minor that isn't gonna slow him down. They're not even going to announce, oh, Sheamus is back when he's back. Or it could be like a Daniel Bryan 6-monther.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't you know, that's a hard point. You can't speculate on it because you just don't know.
Yeah, the big question then becomes, will they do something to take the briefcase away?
Yeah, well, how do you do that? It's not like a title belt. They can't pull like a 30-day bullshit, which, you know, when Brock Lesnar's holding it, no one says anything about that.
Mr. Kennedy lost one.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up, but now that I don't have to.
Yeah, but you still have to put a guy who's suffering from a concussion back in a match. You know, back then, it wasn't watched as closely as it is now, especially when we have this whole concussion lawsuit thing going on. Mm-hmm. And you're going to tell me a guy who just went out for a medically confirmed concussion, you put back in the ring?
Even just so it looks like he's taking a bump that he's not taking. I mean, there are ways of doing it where it's protected, but you don't mess around with a concussion. That's all there is to it. You just don't. So, yeah, we're going to just have to see how this plays out, find out how bad it is, and maybe they'll just make an announcement due to injury. He's no longer able to retain the briefcase. They might have to go that route. So, never know. Tomorrow night, Stephen, how do you pronounce his name? Stephen Amell? Amell? Amell?
Green Arrow.
Yeah, the Green Arrow is going to be on Raw tomorrow. Talking about this with Rock the other day. Am I the only one who sort of wants to geek out the tiniest little bit and have him show up in his Arrow costume?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I would be. Well, here's the thing. He's not,
mm-hmm.
because if they do that, they're actually going to push it to SummerSlam.
Yeah, well, I think the plan is that there will be some kind of a match or something at SummerSlam. So
I don't know. Match.
Maybe a tag match.
Maybe
or something.
Maybe him in Neville's corner or something. Like, they're not gonna, like, CW is not going to let the star of one of their biggest shows on there and actually let him wrestle a match, no matter how well protected it is, no matter what.
Just based on past history, I'm going to just bite my tongue on that one because I can actually picture it happening. I'm half doubtful, but at the same time, if it does happen, I'm not going to say I told you so, but I will say, see?
No, here's what needs to happen.
Okay.
Here's what needs to happen. It needs to be the actor in Neville's corner during a match at SummerSlam. At some point, Stardust has to take a cheap shot out of him and knock him down. You know, paramedics come out, cart him off, etc. And then toward the end of the match, he has to come back out as Green Arrow, get up on the top turnbuckle, and fire a boxing glove arrow at Stardust's head.
Boxing glove arrow.
He's used one.
I know. It's still chuckle-worthy. But, yeah, well, you know, we can anticipate it showing up tomorrow night. Why are they doing this? Was this all, like, Cody as Stardust just causing waves and it, like, gained momentum and steam and they said, let's roll with it? Or did they plan this out, like, months in advance or even, like, weeks and weeks in advance?
I don't think they randomly pick it.
I really don't care.
Well, I really don't think they pick based on... You know, just like some random name, because, you know, like May said earlier, Daredevil's probably hotter right now than Arrow is.
Yeah, which is, like, it's still amazing to me. I'll admit that I'm an avid Arrow watcher, and the show is hokey. It is. It's hokey. I mean, at one point, I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, why doesn't everybody just don a costume and become a superhero helping Arrow out? Because that's what's happening. Just waiting for the police chief to become a secret superhero. You know what I mean?
That's always the thing about
because
those.
DC super... only has so many heroes to license.
Yeah, so they're trying to get them all in.
Mm-hmm. That's always the thing when you deal with somebody whose only super ability is he's really, really good at something. He's really, really good at archery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that qualifies him to be a superhero. Why?
Yeah, well, it makes you wonder, well, who else is, like, really good? Like, okay, I have a 98-mile-per-hour fastball.
Mm-hmm.
Can I be a superhero named The Thrower?
Can you get it over the plate? Ah, gotcha. Now you're thinking whether or not you can get it over the plate, aren't you?
It's been a long time since I pitched a baseball. So,
there you go.
And I'm not exactly sure how my accuracy is anymore.
Yeah. I used to be pretty good at throwing. You know, where the you go to that park where they have the batting cages set up, and then they've got it set up where you can actually see if you can throw strikes, and they have the radar gun on it. They've got that up here. You know, it's baseball is not as big in Canada as it is in the States, but it's still fairly big, and they do have parks like that.
I remember going to a carnival every summer where they had like a little pitching booth set up and a guy with a radar, and you get to throw two balls and then you get to throw a third. And if you predicted your speed on the third enough, then you get to pick a hat.
Yep. I think they used to have something like that at a lot of different fairs and carnivals, because I remember doing it, and I threw two balls. One was at 75 miles, and the other one was 90 miles. And I threw the third one. I said it would be 85, and I missed it by 5. It was 80.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do remember going to the park at Shoulders. I think it was Shoulders. I painted the corner, and I hit 96, and I was proud of myself. And I'm like, there's no way in hell I could ever do that again. But like an amateur ball, I'd be a pretty good pitcher, but not a great one.
I'm just more amused that you used a sports reference that I understood.
For a change.
Yeah.
Well, that's because we were talking baseball, not hockey.
Go sports ball.
Go sports stuff. Get that thing over there and get points.
Yeah.
Throw the thing, do the thing. Yay.
Jeez, I could just picture this as an animated cartoon. Throw the thing, do the thing. Mace is just sitting there. He's like, you know, that tall. He's jumping.
Throw the ball at or into the thing.
Yeah, like put this over there and get points for it. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll find out tomorrow what happens. I just kind of sort of, yeah. And okay.
You guys are sitting there talking baseball, and I'm sitting here going, you know, football season, preseason starts this weekend. Yay sports.
There you go. So I just asked if I was bragging. I don't have to brag. But yeah, maybe it's the geek in me, but I kind of want to see him show up tomorrow night in his Green Arrow outfit. But I also don't want the segment to go any longer than 5 minutes. So I couldn't believe this when I read it, you guys. Years ago, when they first brought in Brock Lesnar, apparently he was supposed to, his character was allegedly supposed to be gay. You believe that? When did he debut in WWE? That was around the same time they brought up Cena, wasn't it? Like within the same year.
Yeah, class of 2002. 2002.
Yeah. Now, back then, how much bigger would it have been had they had a gay character, like, you know, Brock Lesnar as a gay character, than if they, you know, like Darren Young's gay and nobody cares, like in real life?
Hold on. Let me get a date of when the Billy and Chuck references were around.
Yeah, that was like 2005, 2006, 2007, wasn't it? No, earlier than that.
September 2002 was the commitment ceremony storyline. So, yeah, about 2001, 2002.
Yeah, so, but...
And we saw how that went over.
That wasn't shocking to me so much as I considered it pretty fucking stupid.
Well, there you go. That would have probably been your same thoughts with Brock Lesnar. Yeah, despite the picture, I guess, is posted in our chat.
Yeah, that's just pretty goddamn stupid, isn't it? Yeah, well, there you go.
They're just lending credence is all.
Yeah, there you are. It's I don't know. I've always thought that Hollywood has had a gay agenda with movies and TV shows, inserting homosexual characters unnecessarily into things just so they'd be more accepting. And finally, we're at the point now where not only is it acceptable if you're gay, but it's politically incorrect to not appreciate the fact that some guy is kissing another guy. But what can you do? I just couldn't see.
Nothing really.
Yeah, I can't see somebody like that going over at all. You know, this is stupid, whatever.
Like, could you imagine if Brock Lesnar debuted with that character, went to the UFC, and came back today still as that character?
Absolutely not.
It would be one of those things of if Brock Lesnar wanted to bend you over and draw you, you'd fucking let him.
No. So, hey, yeah, it's Brock Lesnar. He does what he wants, and you've got no say. That's all there is to it.
Exactly.
Why? Because he's Brock Lesnar.
A quick little breaking news item for you gentlemen. I don't know if this was talked about because this is sort of just coming across. They have banned the fan who threw the briefcase at Roman Reigns.
They banned him.
Yeah, they've banned him from attending any future WWE shows.
Oh, I was just about to say, well, that's a little late.
Which is enforceable how?
I don't know, but it was on ctvnews.ca.
Yeah, well, there you go, ctvnews.ca. CTV, the Canadian television network, one of the big three here in Canada. And boy, if they break news, it's better than if you break wind. Yeah, I said it. What the hell? Time for a break. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with a couple more odds and ends. And, of course, brand spanking new shiny all-time greatest. We'll be back right after this. Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said,
Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Next spot!
think you could tell us what to do?
Yeah.
You think you could tell us what to win?
Yeah.
You think you better?
Yeah.
Well, you better get ready to bow to the master.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network. I've got two words for you. Suck it!
Putting four mind to a stop, speak my mind. I keep it rocking that bottom line. Suck it, two tears in the bucket.
And it's really a lot easier if I unmute my microphone when I say welcome back and Wild Talk Radio and WTR Sunday Night and all that other crap. If you're going to talk on a microphone, make sure you're not muted. That's all I got to tell you.
Professionalism right here on Wrestle Talk Radio.
Screw that! Or whatever. Yeah, welcome back to WTR Sunday Night, everybody. Basically just having a laid-back, lackadaisical Sunday night because there's not a hell of a lot of news to talk about. But I did, after Raw last Monday night, watch Paige's interview on with Steve Austin. Did you guys catch it?
I caught it.
I caught most of it. I didn't see the opening.
Sorry, I got video over the ad break. The Young Bucks at a local indie show doing a spot with a little kid that ends with both of them kicking him in the face. It's hilarious.
Oh, what? They both kick a little kid in the face.
Yeah,
what?
It was at some sort of local house show. It was a kid's birthday. He gets in the ring with his dad, and the Young Bucks sort of make fun of him, and they both super kick his father. The kid starts opening up, like this kid's like 9 years old, opening up with kicks and punches. They're selling it. They get up against the ropes, and then they turn the tide, both get up, bang, super kick to the face of this kid. Absolutely hilarious. The kid bumps better than most adults I've seen.
And how long is this TNA contract for?
A month.
Probably a month.
No. He's on a pay-per-appearance deal like most TNA talent is anymore because TNA can't afford contracts.
Link, Mace, link me this video of a 9-year-old being super kicked.
We all want to see this. 9-year-old kid getting beat up by a couple of wrestlers. Gee, that's nice of them. I'll check that out afterwards because it'll just be too distracting. So you saw most of Paige's interview with Steve Austin, Omega. Mace, you saw the whole thing?
Yeah, I saw the whole thing from start to finish.
I was expecting more from the interview, to tell you the truth. The one thing that I picked up from it was it just felt like Austin was following a script, going through the motions, because majority of stuff that Paige was saying after answering Austin's questions was just being totally, to use a term, not being sold by Austin at all. It just came across to me like he wanted to get the interview done and hit his points and then, you know, go for a Steve Weiser.
Well, I reckon that he was supposed to have somebody else as his guest.
Brother.
Kind of.
Brother. Yeah. So he probably just turned around and said, look, here's what I know about her. Guys in the office, can you give us a hand with a couple of questions?
Yeah.
And the office wrote him some extra questions and shit, and he just went through it.
That said, I thought her stories were great.
Oh, she had some pretty good stories, you know, finding out that, her mom was like, 8 months pregnant when she took bump?
7 months. Yeah. 7 months when she took a bump, and yeah.
I don't think it was 7 months. I think it was early on.
Well, Paige said that her mom didn't look pregnant when she took the bump, and then after going to the hospital after taking the bump because she didn't feel right, her belly popped out. And the way she described it, it's like, okay, she looks normal, take a bump, boom, all of a sudden she's got a fat tummy.
Paige shifted during the bump, what can we say?
Oh, but there you go. Yeah. And Paige is blaming her scoliosis on that bump, too.
Yeah.
Didn't realize she had scoliosis, so she came to work for the WWE.
When you get
That's harsh.
When you get a real physical.
Yeah.
But what you talk about, she was actually working her mom when she was 13 years old.
Yep.
That's just amazing.
Yeah, those are the cool stories to me. Like, I didn't know that she was second generation.
Yep. Well, I knew that. I mean,
third generation, actually, her grandfather.
Oh, geez.
Also, yeah, the documentary that they brought up during that Wrestling With My Family, that I actually watched just before Paige got signed because it was just something that popped up on the torrent site. I'm like, oh, okay, let's have a look at this.
Well, they've got that on YouTube, don't they? If you want to watch
it. I believe it's also on YouTube as well. Yeah. And it's
we
a really
the WTR never do not actually condone piracy of any kind.
Well, that's why I said YouTube, bitch.
I don't think that changes things.
We don't condone piracy if it's available on the WWE Network. If it's not available on WWE Network, it's a free game.
Yeah, there you go.
So, you know, watching that gave a good insight into her family.
Yep.
And just to sort of hear it from her own perspective was also very interesting. It seems to be a thing with families in wrestling that the kids are allowed to bypass 99% of the rules, especially if they run a training center.
Yeah.
Because I know most places would not let a 13-year-old or younger train in wrestling.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I know a family down here that own their own company and have a training facility and everything to let their kids start to learn how to wrestle at the age of 8, but had a mandatory age requirement of at least 15 for everybody else. So family just sort of breaks the rules. It's great.
I just like that she was a bouncer.
That I have a very hard time picturing, given Paige being stick-like. I just can't see her being the big, brutal bouncer. Like, even when she's telling the story, I'm trying to picture it in my head. I'm like, no, doesn't work.
Yeah, actually, I can't. I didn't have problems picturing it because I've seen similar type things with small people, both male and female here, who have worked in various bars and nightclubs that I used to frequent, who were very, very well trained in various different mixed martial arts. And, you know, people knew this and didn't mess with them. I didn't find that to be such a stretch. One of the stories that I was really interested in was her telling everybody how she was taught to take a bump, where she was put up against the ropes and told to close her eyes, and then her family would just take turns hitting her. She wouldn't know where it was coming from, and she had to sell that hit.
Yeah, it was not how to take a bump. It was more her how to learn how to sell that
thing. Well, yeah, how to sell the bump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was a different way to learn. It's very interesting to see how they did things.
Yeah. Because, I don't know, how did you learn, how were you trained to sell, Mace?
I was more told how to sell. It was like, if you take a hit, just react to it like you would if you've been in an actual fight.
Yeah.
Luckily, I'd been in quite a few fights as a kid, so I sort of understand that.
Yeah.
I was also told, don't sell it if you don't feel it.
Yeah.
And when I asked, what do you mean? He said, my trainer said, stand in the middle of the ring, you're going to take several clotheslines in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to sell the ones that connect.
There you go.
So if I didn't feel the thump on my chest, I didn't sell it.
Yep.
And if I felt it, I had to take the bump and sell.
Well, you know, you guys know that was always one of my pet peeves is like, don't sell a missed hit. And you see too much of that in different wrestling feds. And it even happens in WWE. You catch it more on Raw Live when it happens than you do on SmackDown because they can edit that out and have been known to do so. But
it gets worse on Raw because they won't just improvise and keep going. They'll just do the whole thing on the spot and just redo the whole thing.
Well,
we don't know what other spot to do.
Yeah, the younger, newer talent does that because they're so goddamn regimented. They're not trained to improvise anymore. I swear to God. The old school. One of the reasons, you know, and I get grief from some people, but one of the reasons why I am more into old school than some of the stuff that we get today with the new call-ups and stuff, is that old school, we're taught to improvise during training.
I was always told if you get lost during a match or something goes wrong and you don't know what to do, grab the other person in a headlock and quickly work something.
Yeah, do a rest hold and talk it out.
Yeah. Grab him in a headlock, drop to the mat, or push him up into the corner and say, I'm lost. And it's up to the veteran to take over and say, okay, we're doing this.
Yeah, and basically to call it in the ring instead of trying to remember what you planned out in the back room, which it just seems like that's almost like a lost art anymore. Being able to change up on the fly when something, you know, buggers up and stuff like that. So,
but well, that's because most people these days are taught here's spot A, spot B, spot C, spot D. Here's how you're supposed to sell. Here's some basic moves. Go forth and do it.
Yeah, well, I've seen some wrestlers here in Calgary train newbies, and some techniques that are used is they treat it like an acting class. They're told, okay, this has just happened to you, react to it, and let's see what you do. And so they try it, and say, okay, well, and then you see the trainer and the trainer's assistant, they get in and they actually perform the move that the trainee was told about, and then they see the reaction and how they're selling it. And then they, you know, get the trainee to work that way. And it's a case of thinking on your feet. How do I make this look real? After I've been told this, that, and the other thing, and I see what they're doing, now it's up to me to improvise as I do it. And it's just, you know, that feeling of having a little bit more freedom to do so, I think. But yeah, it was an entertaining interview. I did expect more, but not from Paige, but from Austin. But of course, it's, again, brother. A last second replacement.
And he seemed very uncomfortable just with her acknowledging, you know, his impact on her. He seemed very uncomfortable with it.
That was hilarious, because you could see him squirming in his seat, like, oh, God, no.
I'm one of those, and it's like, and I'm sorry to geek out here with Star Trek references, but that just reminded me of that one scene in Star Trek Generations where Captain Harriman said, I read about your exploits when I was a kid in school, and Captain Kirk just looks at him and he's like looking daggers at him, but he smiles and says, oh, really?
Like, it was one thing when she was saying, oh, you influenced how I was as a personality, rah, rah, rah. He took all that in stride. Mm. It was when she turned around and said, I have to admit, I had a bit of a crush on you when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That was when everything... Like, you could see it in Austin's face. You could see it in his face. That's when everything just sunk.
Yeah. And the whole thing about it, and this is... Yeah, okay, we know Paige is young, but it doesn't hit you that she's only 23 and she's been in the business for 10 goddamn years until that interview where she actually states it. And it's like, holy Christ, she's a veteran. And, you know, that was Austin's reaction too. Oh, like I say, all in all, it was pretty interesting. So if you haven't seen it, where do you find Steve Austin's interviews?
WWENetwork.com.
Or?
I'm not promoting it. So go to the WWE Network for $9.99 and get this interview with Paige.
Well, now, I want to know why you're not promoting it.
Because why promote anywhere else you can get podcasts when you can, best place to get podcasts is WildTalkRadio.com.
Well, yeah, but still, Steve Austin, don't worry about it. I mean, like, you're a freak. Anyway, that's all good.
Podcast one, by the way.
So, all right, yeah. It's always a good idea to do a little bit of research before you name a stable or a wrestler or something, don't you think?
You would
maybe.
Google is meant to be your friend.
Yeah, leave save search off.
Yeah, Google exists for a reason. Use it. What we're talking about, in case you missed it, the Diva stable that were named Sorority Sisters has been changed to, what is it, PTB? PCB?
It was Submission Sorority.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Submission Sorority, sorry. And that's a series of pornographic, explicit content pornography put out on the internet by Bang Brothers.
Yeah, they're sending Vince McMahon a gift.
Yeah, they're going to send Vince McMahon a gift basket for using that.
So, yeah, because Vince McMahon made Bang Brothers relevant again.
They actually increased their web traffic by 35% when the name was put out there.
I heard web traffic was up 60%, and they had at least 30% of that traffic become sign-ups for the site.
Yeah, nice. Because people were Googling... Yeah. Submission Sorority.
Am I the only one when you heard Team PCB? Sounds like a drug, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was the first thought. It's like, you are not improving your situation here.
Yeah, can I just point out to you that there was a really, really, really big epidemic, I guess you could call it, of PCB use, PCP use in the 70s?
PCP, yeah.
There's no question.
PCP use.
Yeah. There's no question.
Yeah.
Why would you do? Why would you build this entire thing as the Divas Revolution and not just call the three, you know, faces and call their faction Diva Revolution?
Simplicity sucks, Omega.
Because it's too close to the Revolution, which was a really, really bad gimmick involving Shane Douglas in WCW.
Oh, like that bothers them.
There's still the Revolution in TNA with James Storm.
And then you get some old school wrestling fans who, if you say the Revolution, they think Purple Rain.
And plus, hashtag Diva Revolution is already a hashtag, so they're not going to use the team name as the hashtag they use for all the segments.
But it's the same storyline.
Nobody watched the movie Purple Rain. Wow.
We're just ignoring it, Tim.
I figured, because that's standard for you anyway, but I'm not even saying it anymore, so shut up.
I heard this weird comparison. Some random dude on a show goes, you know, why does ZZ get to keep his name? Since it's, you know, talking...
ZZ Top.
No, for Brazzers or whatever the hell the website is.
Oh, Brazzers.
Brazzers.
That's another porn site.
Yeah, ZZ gets to keep his name, so why can't the girls keep their name?
And no, I don't surf porn sites. Don't even bring it up.
Wasn't even going there, but I heard that ridiculous comparison. I was like, oh, people, you have too much spare time on your hands.
I'm still wondering why the fuck ZZ's still on Tough Enough, but anyway.
Jeez.
You and a few other people.
to be fair, in the internet age, this happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So there's people, there are people who just like sit and like figure this stuff out just for the sake of making the jokes or making an article out of it. So, yeah. So, in my fandoms in Transformers, there's a subscription service where it's like you pay a certain amount of money and they send you a toy in the mail that you can only get through that service, like every couple months. The first set that they sent out, like five different toys, you put them all together, and you make this giant robot named Nexus Maximus.
Okay.
Nexus Maximus is the name of a dildo.
Ooh.
And they didn't know that because they, when they Google checked it, they had Safe Search on.
You gotta take it off.
So, yeah, let's release a kid's toy named after a dildo. That didn't go so well.
When it was released and found out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, releasing was part of the problem there.
Oh, you had to, didn't you?
Kinda.
Yeah, it's a bit of a CB radio hangover from last night, don't you think?
I only do... No. I was on CB radio last week, and that's my one appearance per year on the show. Talking, like, holdover from Cards last night.
Okay, so, yeah, you weren't holding over from Cards last night waiting for them to get a hold of Rob or anything like that.
No, Rob, Rob woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's why the phone call was at 1 a.m.
So good to see Rob's on time, as usual.
You know, had a long day.
Well, you know, it's a rough life being a waiter in a bar.
No, he doesn't do that anymore.
Oh, what is he doing now?
He
sleep until 3 in the morning. What do you think?
And he was never a waiter. He was a cook.
Ever.
He works with, what the hell, I forget what he does, but it's it's with machinery. I forget the technical term, what he does.
Machine operator?
I'll figure it out. Anyway, continue on.
Oh my god.
No, I forget the technical term, what he does.
Yeah, no, I was just reading
you post. Hold on. No, Nick. No hashtag blame Rob this week.
No, well, now we do have him. No, not on this show, not for a wrestler, but Frank Gifford, legendary football player.
Who?
Exactly. No, he was married.
Frank Gifford, legendary commentator for Monday Night Football.
Him too. That too.
Married to Kathy Gifford, who was at one point in time Regis's co-host on Regis and Kathy Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, was that bitch that fucked up Raw one show?
Yep.
She was made fun of on South Park in the early days. I remember her.
Yep.
So there you go.
What about him?
He died.
When?
Today. Frank Gifford died today.
Really?
Yes, Tim.
No, we're lying to you.
What time?
Earlier this afternoon.
Oh. They must not have made a big deal of it, because it's like, you know, not even preseason yet.
What did he die of, Rock, as long as we're given the whole biography?
Did he die of being old?
Yes, he did. Natural causes.
There you go. That's all that matters.
And it was a trending topic on Twitter all day, and they did a halftime special on him tonight during the pro football game.
Well, the biggest thing I remember about Frank Gifford was him getting caught cheating on Kathy Lee.
So hashtag Blaine Rob. We'll talk about
biggest Saturday. Thing I remember about Frank Gifford is being mentioned on Wild Talk Radio.
Probably the only thing you remember, you young fuck.
Because Omega is sports guy.
Yes. With my great sports terminology, like painting the corner.
Hey, you're supposed to be surprised I knew that term. Because I'm so into baseball. Right, Rock?
Totally, Tim.
I'll play the game, but I can't stand watching it. How can you watch a game where when you describe a perfect game is nothing happens?
It'd be the same like watching hockey?
No, hell no. Perfect game in hockey is when you get a whole bunch of fights and a whole bunch of goals. That's a good game.
So Dusty Rhodes' daughter has a campaign being started. She wants to get her father remembered at the Emmy Awards this year.
Look, I love Dusty, and I miss Dusty. But is he on the level of a movie star that deserves to have this inclusion in their annual memorial tribute?
I hate to say no.
I don't want people to get the wrong idea or anything like that. But
here's the thing. Like, Dusty, no, I don't see him being that. Piper, I could see being
a Piper,
shown at like the Emmys or fuck even the Oscars.
Now here's a debate
memorandum thing.
Yeah, here's a debate for you guys. Who is the bigger crossover star, or is there even a debate?
It's Piper. Piper.
A bit between
Dusty and Piper.
Oh, Piper.
Not even close to having the same ballpark,
dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and yeah, that was just my backing up what you said. I can see Piper getting mentioned at the Academy Awards because Emmys were for TV.
Anyway, I'm now throwing a curveball in the rundown, Tim.
Oh, because like we were talking baseball scores earlier, go ahead.
Curveball. This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
I haven't heard that, never. And
I forgot Omega's what it felt like for my soul to die.
I was about to say Omega probably wouldn't have lost any sleep if he never heard it again. What's your curveball, bitch?
With tomorrow being hashtag Sandow Appreciation Day, you ever about to use the hashtag Sandow Appreciation Day all day long on Twitter tomorrow. What is your favorite Damian Sandow moment? Go.
All of my Damian Sandow moments end in sadness.
Yeah.
He doesn't even get his fucking tag team now.
Wasted Expectations.
No, we're talking favorite Sandow moments.
All
of them are just very, very sad.
You mean Sadow, not Sandow. Sadow. But go back to drinking. That was bad. The first couple of months of him coming out as different characters every week.
Let's go on. Would you say the Mizdow run before the finish of it? Pretty good?
Half of it.
I'd say the first part of the Mizdow run was probably the best for me.
Yep.
That was when he got saddled with a gimmick that really should not got over, and goddamn did he get it over.
He got it over good.
Because he was so into it, and that's back when he like wasn't running out of any ideas for what to do to mimic Miz during a match.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Miz?
I'm very partial to the original Sandow gimmick, the intellectual savior of the masses. It was just so simple in the way he carried himself. And, come on, cupping the microphone like it was a glass of brandy.
That's just one of the subtle things that he did.
Yeah, it's the subtleties that made the character watchable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as much as I hated the whole idea of him talking down everybody, it was so amusing to see everybody grasp onto it and for it to become meme-worthy.
Oh, I loved him talking down to everybody because, you know, that was the entire character, was being an absolute snob where Hunter Hearst Helmsley failed.
Yeah, so mine's definitely just the way his character began was the snobby intellectual that it was just so subtle in the way he played himself.
You're welcome.
Like, yes. Two-word catchphrase, and it worked really well.
Yep. That's good, too, yeah. It's like been so long since he's done that you kind of forget about it.
I think that was the plan. Mm-hmm.
They were hoping?
Plus, come on, who else can pull off a robe and a towel as a fashion accessory?
Yeah. Or a fashion statement? Adorable Adrian Adonis back in the 80s.
So, there you go. Learn more about the hashtag Sandow Appreciation Day on the front page of WildTalkRadio.com once we have it, an interview with the ladies behind the movement. Shameless.
What
book.
Ladies are behind the movement?
Their names are Ren and Stephanie. You can read more about it on your website, WildTalkRadio.com.
Ren and Stephanie?
Yes.
You realize how close to Ren and Stimpy that is.
I know.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Just and, pointing out the obvious.
I hope you play the Happy Happy Joy Joy thing before you bring them on.
You have to.
I know. It's a text interview on the website.
Go
read it. Go. You can go read it. It's on WildTalkRadio.com.
Reading? Who does reading in this day and age?
What the hell is that?
I know.
By the way, out of all of Sandow's like gimmicks where he took on different characters, I've got to say Magneto was the best.
So yeah, everyone use the hashtag Sandow Appreciation Day tomorrow. Try it during Raw. Get the trend.
There
See
you
what
go.
Happens.
Okay. Well, you know, at this point in time, shouldn't we just debut the new all-time greatest?
Who's the man? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now!
Now, Rock, before you begin, I just want to remind all the listeners, next Sunday night, right here on WTR Sunday night, it's another edition, another round of WTR Pick'em, and this time, goddammit, we're going to have a winner for the prize.
There must be a winner. Anyway,
go ahead.
We have compiled the
brand new list.
Top 32 moments.
How many moments?
32 moments.
Oh, my God. When is this going to end?
At Survivor Series.
Believe it or not, yeah. Guess what the all-time greatest is?
What, Tim?
The all-time greatest Survivor Series moments.
Yeah. Yes, Kinkin, we are sure we are going to crown a winner.
Even if we have to double up on 1 week or 2 weeks, it's
no,
going to happen.
No, he's going back to the prize.
Oh, thing. The winner? Is he doing that? Oh, okay, because he doesn't specify, so.
I knew what he was talking about. Winner. Anyway, it's the all-time greatest Survivor Series moment. We've compiled a list of 32, and we're going to break them down every single week. Survivor Series to crown the all-time greatest Survivor Series moment. You can go to WrestleTalkRadio.com to see the entire list and follow along as we go week by week. The brackets will continue to be updated as we go. We came up with a list, random generated the order in terms of the matchups.
90% of it.
90% of it because Tim had some complaints.
I said, these can't be mashed up in the first round because they're like blockbusters. Fuck you, move them.
So he used his administrative powers and changed the list.
Which
around.
Made it better, thank you.
We'll see how this shapes up.
Don't you hate it when I interrupt you?
No, it's actually funny. So we'll start off with Sting's WWE debut from last year's Survivor Series, or The Rock becoming the corporate champion in 1998. We will start with Omega.
It's a little tougher than it should be for the first round. I want to say Sting's debut.
Really?
That's so much history in that one. So much of a moment you didn't... It became one of those things that you never thought you'd actually see, and then all of a sudden, there's fucking Sting in a WWE ring. It was the last... It was the last holdover from the Attitude Era. It was the last time someone could go from one promotion to another and have that kind of shock value to it. Like, even if it was rumored, even if you're expecting it, it's not real. It's one of those things that you don't believe until it's there in the ring. It's like Jericho showing up on Raw, or all of a sudden, oh God, who else am I thinking of? But like
Goldberg debuting in WWE.
Not even that. Like that was one of the big holdovers. But it's one of those things that you'd see in the Attitude Era, where all of a sudden this really big top star who was one of the cornerstones of one company is all of a sudden with the other company. And there's no more moments like that left. Sting was it. Like, that's it. Like, that's the last time we'll ever have a surprise like that. I mean, that alone has a lot of value to me.
Okay. So one for Sting's WWE debut. Mace?
You want to know what the scariest thing about this entire thing was?
What's that?
Since you sent me the full list of this, I sat there last night, went through every single moment, and wrote down notes on every single one of them.
shit, you did homework?
I did fucking research.
Oh my god.
It was scary.
Yeah, no kidding.
So for this first one, looking at both Sting's WWE debut and The Rock becoming corporate champion in 1998, I'm actually going with The Rock becomes a corporate champion in 98. It was 1 year after the screw job, and it took a lot of balls to repeat the idea using fan favorite Mankind and, you know, a Rock that was still a face at the time.
Right, because you had you had Mankind being, you know, he was so trying to get the respect of Vince McMahon, doing whatever he wanted, and then to get screwed over the way he did.
Yeah, and it was one of those rare times of white hot heat, you know, and then you finish it off with Austin coming out and doing something that I wish more heels would do, just turning around and going, you know what, bring it, motherfucker. The Rock throws the title over his shoulder and just goes, come on, Austin, let's just start the fight.
Right.
It was a great way to end that, and you know, poor Mick, you really felt for Mankind at the time, because he's going, Dad, I don't know what's going on. It's like, what the fuck, dude? No! It's like watching Old Yeller get a shotgun through the head. It's not cool.
Or seeing Shane right off into the sunset, knowing that he's dying from that bullet wound.
Yeah, yeah, it's one of those type of moments. Whereas Sting's one, it came out of nowhere, yes. It got a great big pop when he first came out, but as he came down the ramp, the pop died and people just sort of sat there in silence and like,
what the
okay,
fuck just happened?
What's going on? I have no idea what sense this is supposed to make. Oh, yay! He hit Triple H and now he's going again. Wait, what? Huh? This makes no sense. So, yeah, I'm going. This is scary. I'm picking The Rock to win something.
All right, Tim. Break the tie.
Well, you picked Rock to win something because back then he was full-time and he was WWF and he was Attitude and he was new enough that, ooh, it's The Rock, what's he going to do next? If you smell what he's cooking. Yeah, that's why you picked him, don't lie.
Actually, at that point in time, I wasn't exactly a fan of him either.
Oh, okay, sure. I get where Omega's coming from with his pick. You know, Sting, it's about time. He's the final one from WCW. To, you know, the big, you know, big name anyway, mm-hmm. to finally make his way over and cross that floor, cross that line, and actually appear in WWE. The only problem is, and you can blame it on today's technology, information accessibility, cavalier treatment of kayfabe, it just didn't hit the way it could have had he showed up even 10 years earlier. You know, he signs a deal with WWE initially. It's a Legends contract. He signs another deal with WWE, and all of a sudden, you know, he's going to show up at some point in time and he's going to have a match probably against Triple H. But when is he making his debut? Oh, he'll make his debut. But when? Oh, you know, probably Survivor Series. And so, like, yeah, sure, the day comes and what could have been an absolutely awesome occurrence is just relegated. It really is. And that's too bad. But, you know, it just, in my opinion, Sting just waited too goddamn long. You know, Mace, you're talking about, you know, let's basically parody the Montreal Screwjob. Because that's what they did. They parodied it. And a parody is not always something that you poke fun of or anything like that. This was not one of those let's poke fun at it type of parodies. A little bit closer to satire, I guess. But you didn't expect it, and it was like that it was a WTF moment, you know, and then Rock throwing his belt on, come on, let's do it. And so, yeah, Rock is my vote.
So The Rock becoming corporate champion in 1998 moves on in the all-time greatest conversation. We move to the debut of The Shield in 2012, and the moment where CM Punk outshines D-Generation X in 2006, we'll go to Mace first.
This one, I'm actually going with the debut of The Shield. The debut was unexpected. The announcer sold it extremely well, not knowing what the fuck was going on. The guys made an impact by picking up Ryback and doing the triple powerbomb through the table. And to be honest, and for the people sitting in the crowd, this could have just been three big fans who jumped in the ring and started beating the shit out of people. You know, this was played off like a legitimate attack at the time. CM Punk, on the other hand, a lot of it had to do with the fact that he was the big ECW guy, and they were in Philly, and they really pushed. Like, even Triple H says it, you know, the next big ECW star, CM Punk.
Who would then lose 2 weeks later in the Elimination
Chamber. Yeah, exactly. He would then lose 2 weeks later in the Elimination Chamber. But that type of thing, like, that was more of an ECW pop than a real CM Punk. You know, it was a hometown pop. You know, it was the same type of reaction Punk would get in Chicago, because that's his hometown. Punk was over as the big ECW guy at the time, so Philly gave him the big hometown pop.
Right.
But I just like the impact of the debut of the Shield and the, like, holy shit, what the fuck's going on moment, compared to, yay, he outshined DX, now Triple H has to buddy up to him for 5 minutes.
Which is just their reaction to it. Well, it's priceless, though. They couldn't believe it for a minute. Omega?
I am also going with the Shield.
Okay.
For a few reasons. Yeah, the announcers sold the attack well. They actually did drop a few names, so it wasn't, at least on TV, you could actually tell, okay, they know who these people are, and there's an actual significance here. And that was at the time when Ryback had, you know, air quote, earned the whole Goldberg chanting, because he was being booked to be invincible. So, three guys coming in, you know, completely laying him out was kind of a big deal. I actually did a bit of research, too, for this segment.
Oh my god.
So, I went back and watched in the Survivor Series 2006 to see CM Punk and DX. And honestly, like, I listened to the crowd reaction to him, and, like, I had to go back and check, like, I had to go back and find, like, archive video.
Uh-huh.
Like, something on Daily Motion, something older that was, like, recorded off TV to check to make sure WWE hadn't muted the audio. Because it didn't sound like he was outshining DX at all. Like, I didn't hear the kind of reaction that would make that a summer or a Survivor Series moment.
Okay.
So it kind of felt lackluster to me.
All right, Tim.
Yeah, I'll make it unanimous. And I can't really add anything to what everybody said already.
So with this one, the
Shag Pump Insert Erect Lick Dick Shield
moves on.
Why do you have to do that?
Because I can. We'll wait for the reaction here in a minute. So the Shield, it moves on to The Rock next week in the conversation. The Dudley Boys reunite and Lita retires, and Steve Austin drops Triple H off a forklift, and Paul Heyman turns on Brock Lesnar. That's on the next All-Time Greatest.
I think we might have a really good one here.
Next week's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. So, with that being said, it's time.
No, next week's going to be tough.
No, it's going to be fun.
None of these matchups, when Rock and I went through them, we kind of sort of like half made sure and we got half lucky. None of these matchups are duds, really. I mean, there are going to be a couple that breeze through, but still, none of these are dud matchups.
So, anyway.
Oh, I was just waiting for you to add something, but okay.
I'm trying to confirm what Mace is talking about. Anyway, let's go to quick hits.
Yeah, well, we don't need to talk about that, but why don't we just hit quick hits?
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow, fine.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
So, we're going to continue to ruin things for people. So, Tim, what type of porn does CP3O watch?
Don't know why you do this.
Cause I can.
Yeah, turn the music down a little bit.
Why? Too loud?
I can't think.
Alright.
Oh, fuck. I don't. All I can think of is it's got to have something to do with a lot of vibrators. So maybe female masturbation porn. Just because he's C-3PO.
There you go. Mace.
I was waiting to find out if that counted or not. You left me hanging.
I was reading.
You're reading some news bits. Okay, no worries.
I was reading some news bits. Moving along. Mace, what type of porn does Tom Servo watch?
Who the fuck's Tom Servo?
From
Ask him the MST3K question?
Yes.
Is that the one that's the chicken-looking thing that's made out of a gumball machine?
No. Yes, it's the one that's made out of a gumball machine.
The one that Linkara has the replica of, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I still have no fucking clue. It would obviously be very, very bad, so we can sit there and make fun of it. That much I know. I'm sorry that I'm not up to date on history of characters for MST3K. Yeah, so it would just be bad porn, so we can make fun of it.
There you go. I'm going to find a different one for your next one, because the other one has to say, do the same thing.
He's asking Crow.
Give it to Omega!
No, because here's Omega's. Omega, what type of porn does Megatron watch?
Oh, you bastard. God, Megatron. Which Megatron?
Just in
this
general.
This is important.
No, in general. Just go with in general, Megatron.
In general, there's like 20. No, it's Megatron. It'd be straight up domination.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I'm just, the only thing is, I'm sitting here going, okay, Omega, which one? What does the Beast Wars version watch?
Oh, that no, he's far more intellectual. He's into erotica.
Fair enough.
So, Tim.
I don't know.
What type of porn does R2-D2 watch?
I told you, I don't know.
Figure it out.
Why are you asking me, like, R2-D2 stuff? And Star Wars porn?
Because you're the Star Trek guy.
Yeah, so that makes complete sense. Don't ask me anything about Data.
No, R2-D2. What type of porn does R2-D2 watch?
Midget porn.
Why midget porn?
Because he's so fucking small, and if you open up R2-D2, there's a midget working him. Kenny Baker.
Okay.
I had no fucking answer.
He watches midget porn because there's a midget working him.
Thanks, Omega, for pointing that out.
Mace, what type of porn does the fembot from Austin Powers watch?
What couldn't I have gotten that question?
Because
you knew your answers. You knew what robots you were being asked about.
Well, it'd be quite obvious. The fembots will be watching Austin Powers porn. Because that's their obsession. And it gives them something to aim at when they're practicing firing from their jubblies.
He makes them horny, baby.
And Omega, what type of porn does Optimus Prime watch?
Megatron porn.
You were ready for that one.
Who took them off? Who's the mole?
Why Megatron porn?
It's the secret. It's a secret obsession thing, yo. He's really doing that just to get the biggest laugh.
And why did you answer that? Just to make you laugh harder than you did at all the other shit.
That's why I say any of the shit I say.
Well, don't work at it. Just let it happen organically.
I do. I don't write this shit.
No, Rock does.
Yeah. No, he doesn't. He Googles most of this. No. You'll notice we've been on a bit of a theme lately.
I have help with this, just saying.
God damn it, Lindsay.
Yeah, Lindsay.
I come up with a theme, she gives me characters.
Oh, so you say, Lindsay, robot porn.
Actually, she came up with robots this week.
So was her idea to give me Star Fucking Wars?
She just gave me six names, so I, you know.
It's her.
I should have been given the Austin Powers questions.
Well, Austin Powers was a late Google one, so. Anyway, I think we're done now.
Yeah, we might as well wrap this baby up. Don't forget, everybody, next Sunday night, another edition of WTR Pick'em. And goddammit, somebody's going to win that goddamn thing that we've been trying to give away for 3 months. It's just going to happen no matter what. And yes, Canned Kittens, we're sure, because we're going to rig the contest if necessary. No, I'm kidding.
No, we're coming up with a tiebreaker.
We'll have a tiebreaker, and that's
or
all
two.
There is to it.
Or tiebreaker.
Or three.
Or three.
Because if you have two tiebreakers, they might still tie. But if you got three, well, then there you go. You never know. We'll see what happens. Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's the Raw Post Show. I call it Right After Wrestling, but Rock hates that because he's gay.
Or not Canadian.
Okay.
Or not or not Canadian.
If you hate what I'm into, you're gay. That's all there is to it.
Okay, Raw Post Show 11:10.
Wow.
I don't know. Raw Post Show 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Use the hashtag Sandow Appreciation Day tomorrow. There you go. Go from there. We'll recap Raw.
Don't disagree with anything I say, otherwise you're gay. Thursday night's another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack with your host, Lindsay Ward. And Rock just, you know, like, hangs on.
I hang on. We'll talk NXT, maybe SmackDown, talk Tough Enough. And anything else we possibly can think of. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. You can follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Rack Radio Show. Check out the website, rackradioshow.com. Check out the Rack Extra Total Divas Season 4, Episode 5, which is available now. Episode 6, available on Wednesday. Also, follow Lindsay on Twitter, at LindsWard.
There you go. And, of course, Saturday night, as close to midnight as they can get it. In this case, it was Rob waking up at 3 a.m. CB Radio.
So, the game is... Who will be my co-host this week? Will I have one? Will I have two? We'll find out. It's CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR, Facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. CBRadioLive.com is the place to go to find out how many more days it will take us to get to episode 400. Use the hashtag BlameRob when a celebrity dies. It's CB Radio. It's what your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night.
But you work. You are working your ass off at trying to modulate your voice and not go so fast. You can, like, tell.
You told me to slow down. So
well, that's because you talk too fast when you do your plugs. Like, for instance, you can follow Watt Talk Radio on Twitter at Watt Talk Radio. What did he say? Follow us at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. WTR Sunday Night. You can follow us on the Twitter machines at WTR Sunday Night.
Yes.
Yeah, did you know that? Now you do. Check out the Wild Talk Radio Network's two, not one, but two face pages. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
How many?
Two.
Two? Okay.
Oh, there's three?
There's two. No, just making
there's
sure.
Two. Well, then, like, don't confuse me, because I said two.
You said
and
two a bunch of times.
Facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network.
What was that again?
You heard me. Facebook.com/groups.
So that's Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, just don't let your mother join either Facebook or MySpace because, you know, if she's got both, she's going to screw it up and she'll be talking about people being on my face, and I don't need that. you can follow me.
I don't even want to know, Tim.
Don't even go. Don't even go there. You can follow me on Twitter at Trivial Tim, or you can follow me on Twitter at Flames Forums. Hey, Mace, do you do WTR Games Garage?
Well, I do. If you're talking about the YouTube channel that I run over at youtube.com/WTR Games Garage, where I put up reviews about games that I have been playing or plan to play or plan to play or record and then forget to upload the video and then forget to upload the video again or heard about or do something.
or one day I might actually get around to doing shit once again. Don't make me play Godzilla. I don't want to play Godzilla. Why am I having to play Godzilla?
Mace, could you do me a favor and play Godzilla?
A flavor?
I said favor.
Flavor. Okay.
I said favor. Favor, fave.
No. But anyway, if you feel up to it, head over to youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage. Have a look at the reviews I've done so far. There will be more content on the way and more convention coverage as I've been approved for the Animanga Melbourne Anime Festival, which will be covered next month in September. I have, you know, media stuff. I'm a media person now. Michael Cole?
No, God damn it, we want to like you.
You have to cover a war to be Michael Cole.
Sure, that'll be my next step.
Well, I think he's kind of sort of covering a civil war right now.
if you want to, follow me on Twitter, at The Mace Thing.
There you go. And don't follow him on Facebook, because he doesn't like you.
No, my Facebook is private.
I'm not
like Fancy Omega and have a fan page set up.
Oh, did you know that he has to be TJ Reviews on Facebook?
As opposed to being TJ Omega everywhere else?
That's right. Why don't we ask him? Omega, can you clarify?
This is today about pushing all my fuck you buttons.
It's the theme for the week. Didn't you notice?
Yeah. So, yes, the Facebook page is TJ Reviews, but everywhere else it is TJ Omega. On TJOmega.org, on YouTube, where most of my stuff is, it is TJ Omega. It is TJ Omega on Twitter. I really wish I could just simplify that. I'm TJ Omega everywhere. Can't.
We need to get a hold of this dude and get your page.
And beat him up.
You need to pay him off with a toy.
I don't want to move all my shit.
I just need to have a conversation with him, Lucky Luciano style.
I got a page with 2,700 likes. I'm not going to tell all of it. Okay, everyone, go over here now.
You're able to. We're moving. No, you're able to rename it if you get the name.
I got to change the links then.
Oh my God, work!
There you go.
Oh my God, effort.
What? Say goodbye, Tim.
Yeah, okay, yeah, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network for the SummerSlam preview. Have a good week. Bye.